tonight. Now the WGTD forecast from the National Weather Service for this Friday, the 6th of May. Cloudy, windy, rainy. Today's high 53 with winds up to 20 miles per hour. Overnight, sunset 7:58, cloudy and breezy, a low of 45. Checking the weekend, that looks good. Saturday, sunny and 60. Sunday, cloudy and 63. And then the beginning of next week, nice and warm. Monday, partly sunny and 73. Tuesday, sunny and 81. Wednesday, partly sunny and 83. Right now, though, wind northeast at 10, dealing with rain, 46 in Kenosha, 45 in Racine, 48 for Burlington, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:11, the morning show with Greg Berg is up shortly.
Well, folks here in southeastern Wisconsin, particularly people connected with Carthage College, have had volleyball on their mind because of Carthage's sensational national championship and their second championship in a row. And so it's little surprise that we're going to be talking about volleyball today, but not today specifically about Carthage's national championship, although we're hoping to do that on a future morning show. Instead, we're going to be talking about volleyball as it is played in the nation of Sweden, and somebody from here in southeastern Wisconsin who has had quite an exciting year in Sweden playing for a professional team there. Dalen Instanis is his name, and that last name is, of course, familiar to WGTD Morning Show listeners because his dad, Doug Instanis, is the managing director of the Racine Theater Guild and has been on the morning show any number of times. And I know we've had quite a few get-togethers, Doug and I, where he has regaled me with stories about Dalen's exploits on the volleyball court back in high school, during college, and over the course of this eventful year that Dalen spent living in Floby, Sweden. And we're going to be talking with him about this year, about what it was like to be so far away from home and playing professional volleyball on this team in Sweden. By the way, Dalen is back in America now. He is done playing in Sweden and has taken a job in Indiana and is making time in a busy time of his life just after having moved to join me today on the morning show to tell his story of volleyball and Sweden. Dalen Instanis, we welcome you to the morning show.
Thank you, Greg. I'm happy to be here.
I really appreciate you making time for this. I know it's been a hectic year, hectic week, I should say, but I'm glad we can have this conversation. I'm really excited to be able to find out a little more about what has been going on with you. First of all, let's find out a little bit about when you first fell in love with the sport of volleyball, or maybe another way to phrase it is when the sport of volleyball fell in love with you. When were you introduced to the sport?
I mean, my sister started playing at a younger age, maybe like 13 years old or so, and that's when I first was introduced to it. But then I think around maybe when I was 14 or so, I went to one of her tournaments and I saw men's volleyball there, and it kind of clicked how fast-paced it was and how a lot more aggressive and physical it really is than most people think. So that's when I started to realize, I was like, oh, that would be fun, you know? And my middle school gym teacher, Sam Furco, he at Walden in Racine, he kind of got me into it and there. And he was also the high school coach. So he kind of was like, oh, come play for us, you know. And I was one of the taller kids in my grade. So that's kind of why they recruited me there. So that was like my first find. And then I found out I was kind of good at it. And it was either football or volleyball. And I was better at volleyball, so I chose volleyball to go into high school.
Very good. A lot of volleyball players also play basketball if they're in a situation where those teams and their activities and practices don't overlap, just because physically it seems like it calls for a lot of the same sort of skills and physical attributes. Have you ever been a basketball player too, or has volleyball kind of been your sole athletic focus?
Yeah, not really any basketball, but I have had a lot of friends that played basketball, and we always like to try to grab the basketball players in high school during their off season because, like you said, it was very similar, and it was a good way for us to get some tall, athletic players on our team.
Hmm. So when you are playing volleyball, for those of us that watch from the stands and maybe don't know all of the intricacies of the game, it appears that you are rotating through that court, I mean, into various positions. And does that mean that everybody on a volleyball team needs to do everything, or do various players tend to specialize in certain skills?
In the beginning, it's good for everybody to try and do it all. But once you get towards the higher levels in high school and stuff like that, you get a little bit more specialized. There's two outside, we call them outside positions. Those guys will majority always play all the way around. And then the setter always plays all the way around. And the middles usually just play the front row. And then they get subbed out for a libero, who is like a defensive specialist. So there's some strategy involved once you get to the more like the high school level and club level and further.
So what ended up being your area of specialty or expertise?
I started as a middle, but then I quickly learned that was not my area of specialty. So I switched over to being an outside. So the majority of my life, I've been an outside. Once I got to the college level, though, I realized I was also a right side, so I could play both. And I found out that my quickest way to be on the court was to switch to a right side. So. And the best thing for our team was for me to switch to right side. So I switched to right side in college for the last 3 or so years. And then going back, once I would go play professionally, I switched over and started playing outside again professionally. So I kind of am flip-flopping back and forth between outside and opposite.
And remind me where you went to college.
I went to Lewis University. It's in Chicago, Romeoville, Illinois area. It was a NCAA Division II school, but in men's volleyball world, we combine all Division II schools and Division I schools together because there's just not enough Division I schools to make their own conference. But we competed at the highest level. We were top 8, top 5 every year that I was there in the country. So,
what would you say from your playing days during high school versus when you got to college, and as you presumably were getting better and better, what were the areas in which you were focusing on the most in terms of becoming a better volleyball player?
I think right away, the speed of the game. When you're in high school, it's a little bit slower paced. Not everyone on the court is at the same level. And then when you get to college, it's just night and day faster. You're coming into college and you're 18 years old and you're playing against some 22 years old that players that have been there forever. So you're automatically at a physical disadvantage. And so I think that was like the biggest thing for me and like for our coaches was trying to get us physically and like ready for how fast and more aggressive the game is when you get to the higher level.
By the time you got to college, how tall were you?
I'm about like 6'5"-ish, maybe a little bit taller than 6'5".
I remember seeing a couple of photographs of you with your teammates at college, and it was kind of striking for how tall you are. You were certainly not the tallest guy on your college team.
No, I was about, I would say I was average maybe, or below average. we had a 7 foot, a couple of 6'10 guys, and a couple of 6'9 guys, so, yeah.
Do I remember that it was towards the end of your senior year that COVID kind of rang down its ugly head on everything, or am I remembering that incorrectly?
No, that's right. I was a senior in 2020, so we got our season like cut in half pretty much. We went out to Stanford and played Stanford, and within like three, four days after that game, our season was canceled. So, yeah. We were doing really well that year. We were fifth in the country, and so
that had to be heartbreaking.
Yeah, it sucked. It was tough.
So tell us about the move from playing at your college to this move to play in Sweden. I guess I'm skipping a step there because I know. You spent some time affiliated with the volleyball team at Carthage. Was that what came next for you right after college?
Yeah, so after college, because of COVID hit and everything, the professional leagues were shutting down as well. There wasn't very many opportunities for players to go play, and I kind of was just like, I don't know if I should do it or not. And so I went the route of just getting a job, and JW, the head coach at Carthage Men's Volleyball, reached out to me and he was like, hey, you want to come help out with our team? And I was like, yeah, I can play with you guys too, stay in shape a little bit and also be an assistant coach with them. So I got lucky enough to go coach for them and we had a really, really great season there and won our first national championship, which was amazing.
Did you already know the coach somehow?
Yeah, so JW had actually coached me when I was younger. And he played Division I volleyball as well at Purdue Fort Wayne in Indiana. And so they're in our conference. So he was actually the assistant coach at Purdue Fort Wayne the whole time I was in college. So we knew each other and knew of each other and talked every once in a while. And he's from Wisconsin. So whenever we would go play Purdue Fort Wayne, we'd always talk to JW.
Very good. So what did it feel like to be a coach? Was that something you had ever aspired to do? And did you have any background whatsoever? Or was that pretty much a brand new adventure for you?
Yeah, that was really my first like official coaching job. During college, we had like we'd had like youth camps and stuff like that where we would coach like little kids and high school kids. And so that was kind of pretty easy and it wasn't very high level stuff. And then going into college coaching, it was a little bit more difficult because they're way closer to my age, you know, and so you have to try to, I was more on a level of them, of like a player level, talking to them about my experiences playing and what I did and what people on my team did to succeed rather than like the other coaching route. So it was a cool experience, though.
Yeah. And how exciting to be affiliated with a team that ends up securing the national championship. That had to be a thrill.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. And I credit that a lot to JW and those guys. They were great, and I kind of walked into in a really good situation, just helped them a little extra as I could.
As the season started, did you have any thought that the end of the rainbow could be a national championship, or did, or was that ultimately a spectacular and wonderful surprise?
Yeah, I actually started a little bit later into the season, and they were doing well right from the beginning. So, but when I started, I was like, these guys are good, and these guys have the fight in them, and I think that we thought that they could win, go all the way the whole time. So It was really cool to see them accomplish that. They didn't even, I mean, they didn't lose a game until, I think they dropped like one or two sets the whole season until the national championship, and then they went to five. So they pretty much dominated the league. Cool.
And I remember the coach saying that what is really sweet about this second championship is that first one, of course, was played under the kind of the strange conditions of COVID. And to come back then the very next season with things operating a bit more normally, it made it a very emphatic statement that this was a deserving team, and they deserved to be at the top.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had doubts that they could do it again, and they did it, you know. Especially, and they did it at home, which was great. It was a really cool, special moment, I bet.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, I'm speaking on this portion of the morning show with Dalen Instinus. That last name probably sounds familiar because his dad, Doug Instinus, has been a guest on the morning show any number of times as managing and artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild. And I should add that that Dalen's mom, Kim Instinus, is on the theater faculty at Carthage College. But today we're focusing on Dalen and specifically on his spectacular exploits on the volleyball court. And what we're about to start talking about now is the year that he just spent in Sweden playing professional volleyball. So first of all, Dalen, as you were nearing the end of this time where you were working with the men's volleyball team at Carthage, it sounds like all along your hopes and dreams were that you were going to be able to play professional volleyball somewhere, somehow. So for somebody who is a volleyball player with your gifts, what are sort of the options? I mean, how's the world of professional volleyball even sort of organized? I mean, like, where do you go? What are the things you sort of shoot for?
Yeah, so, I mean, really the first step is getting in contact with people that have done it before. That's really the best option and best advice that I could give. Find people that you know in your circle or somebody knows that they know in their circle that they can get you in a contact of an agent. Agents are a really big help there. I mean, they're there for you. They know the world of the volleyball world overseas. So that's what I did. I got an agent that had been with my team before. A couple guys on my team have used him. And so I signed with an agent and they kind of did a lot of the work for me. And then towards the end of when I was still looking for a contract, I just started, you know, reaching out to teams. I knew other players that have played overseas in the league that they've played in, and I would just search them up on the internet and send them an email and, use all my resources I could. And eventually we found a spot in Sweden that the team was looking for an outside. So, the places to play, there's lots of different places. I mean, in Scandinavia, Sweden, Finland, and Denmark all have leagues. And then at the top-level leagues, there are like Germany, Italy, France. Those are like the very high-level. Poland is a huge league. Russia as well. But so those are like really big leagues where all the Olympic players and really, really good athletes go. They're playing in Italy and Poland and Germany, but there's leagues all over the world, and they're out there for you to find.
By and large, are each of these national leagues sort of entities unto themselves? I mean, are you just playing other teams from Sweden, for instance, or if you're in Poland, are you just playing other teams from Poland? So, in other words, it's not like the world of soccer, where you have kind of the crossing of borders in terms of the competition.
For us in Sweden, we just play the Swedish teams. When you get to the really high-level teams, they will transfer over somewhat and play some different teams. There's a specific tournament in the world called Champions League Tournament, kind of like Champions League Soccer. It's Champions League volleyball, so you have to qualify. And then these professional teams will play each other and cross over. And then if you win that tournament, technically, if you win that tournament, that means you are the top pro team in the world.
Wow.
So it's a really tough tournament. So, and some consider it even tougher than the Olympics itself, because the Olympics are usually, like, these pros are spread out to their national teams, and they have to play for their national team. But then they all come together and play on these other teams. So, like, these teams are super competitive. They have all different players from all over the world that are the best players on the team, you know. So,
So tell us about this particular team that you were part of, the Flubie VK, if I understand correctly, is their official name. First of all, kind of tell us about the size and scope of the league which this team was part of and kind of how this team was organized.
Yeah, so the Swedish Elite, it's called the Swedish Elite Series, and that's the name of the league, and it's been around for a long time, the league itself, and it's pretty much cities or or people organizing teams and putting them together that want to sponsor the team. So Flubie is actually one of the longest outstanding clubs that has been in the Swedish Elite Series. They actually won gold in 1996. And how the leagues work is, like, there's the Elite Series, which is the top level, and then there's a Division 1, 2, I think there's a Division 3 as well. And you have to, like, you have to work your way up and earn your spot in the Elite Series. So if you win Division 1, then you usually have to play a match against the loser of the Elite Series. So you can get, they call it getting relegated. Mm. You can get relegated out of the Elite Series, and then if the Division 1 team beats you, you can, Division 1 team advances. So Flubie kind of fell off a little bit after their gold, and they got relegated down to Division 1 for a long time. And actually, last year was their first Elite Series season back in the Elite Series.
Wow.
So last year they had a little bit of a rough time. They didn't do so well, and then they refocused and they decided they were going to add some more pros to their team and get it going a little bit more. And so this year was the year for us. And so they went from last year to first to third this year.
Wow.
Which is a pretty good accomplishment, yeah.
Absolutely. Are we talking in Sweden about volleyball being a really, really popular sport? And is it just men's volleyball that tends to be seen, or is there a fairly strong presence of women's volleyball as well?
Yeah, I think the women's volleyball is bigger in Sweden than the men's volleyball. We get, it varies. Like Flubie actually is a small city, but has a huge fan base. I say that word lightly. I mean, we would get like 250 fans at our big games, but so there's not a ton of fans that come out, but people do like volleyball and they like to watch it. The Swedish national team actually did very well last year. So volleyball is on the rise in Sweden, I would say, for a more popular sport. But it's not massive, though.
So how large a team was this that you were part of, the Flubie VK men's team, of which you were a member? How many players are we talking about, and where did they come from? I mean, would most of them be expatriates? I mean, from other countries? I mean, not Sweden, or is it more of a mix, or largely Swedish?
Yeah, so we had, it varied a little bit. We had players that played in Division I that we would bring up and play on our team as well sometimes. So we had about 15 players or so, and we had. So the Swedish Elite Series has a rule that you're only allowed to have three foreign professional players on the court at one time. The rest of the players have to be Swedish, and that rule is somewhat common in the some leagues, like in the Italian Super League, which is one of the highest leagues in the world. They can't have more than four foreign professionals on the court at the same time, and the rest have to be Italian. They do that because they want to make sure the Swedish players and the Swedish culture and stay strong within the volleyball community. And so we had one guy, one of our middles was from Senegal, and our other opposite was from Australia. So it was a USA, Australia, Senegal, and the rest was Swedish.
Mm. And if I remember correctly, you lived with the two non-Swedes. I mean, they were your roommates. Yeah. Is that right?
Yep. We had the club provides an apartment for us, and so we had an apartment there, and we lived together.
Hmm. So when is it that you disembarked for Sweden? I remember going to a party at your parents' house right before you left, but I can't remember when that was.
I left in September.
And in September, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic was still a pretty serious situation, both here and abroad. Tell us what COVID was like in Sweden at the time, and what kind of precautions and protocols were in place to try to keep you and your teammates safe.
Yeah, so before I left, I had to get vaccinated, and I had to have a negative test to enter into Sweden. And then once I got there, Sweden had actually been pretty good about the whole COVID situation. They were, at that time, I think the country was maybe 70% vaccinated or something like that. So they were actually easing off on the restrictions. But once I got there, they did have a cap on how many fans could come. And that was pretty much it. They were pretty, they had rules on restaurants and stuff like that. But they didn't have anything too crazy because they were actually doing very well in the COVID scenarios. And we only had one little instance where we had one game canceled because of COVID. And then we just had to get tested and then quarantine for a little bit. And then we were back at it again.
Hmm. So for the most part, you were able to play, in a sense, uninterrupted. And it's nice to hear that.
Yeah, it was great.
So tell us what these other players were like and what it was like to be the one and only American on this particular team. Tell us about the challenge of kind of fitting in and hitting it off and so on.
Yeah, I mean, first off, with my roommates, the other pros, the Australian was nice because he spoke English. So that was great to have somebody that we could talk back and forth with English, which was nice. And then a guy from Senegal, his name was Serine Yefal, and he spoke a little bit of English, mostly French. So it was a little bit hard to be trying to have a roommate and talk and, you know, get to know each other, stuff like that. So that was a challenge at first. And then the Swedish guys were really welcoming, and everyone was super nice. They are all also taught English since the age of like 12 or 13. So that it was easy to talk to them, and they were all very welcoming. A lot of them reached out to me before I even got there and said how they were excited for me to come and stuff like that. So it was very welcoming. There were a lot of them were close to my age as well, so it was really nice. Our coach, on the other hand, he was Cuban. He actually played for the Cuban national team, and he took fourth in the Olympics. He didn't speak very much English at all. He spoke Swedish and spoke English, or in Spanish, sorry. So whenever he was talking to us, I was always just standing next to one of my buddies and say, "What did he say?" And he'd always say, you understand? And I'm like, "No, I don't." But we got through it, and you know, I would lean on my teammates a lot to translate for me, and then by the end I was able to pick up on a decent amount of what he was saying in Swedish, so that was nice.
I wanted to get one thing clarified. Was everybody who played on this team a professional like you, that is paid to be there? I mean, for instance, the Swedes who are on this team, were they also paid athletes, professional athletes, the way we think of that term, for instance, here in the United States? Or were you and the others not from Sweden, in a sense, in kind of a different category from the Swedes?
Yeah. So the Swedish people were not paid a salary. They did get compensated for like food and like their travel there and back to practice, stuff like that. but they did all work full-time jobs. The league itself isn't to the point where they can pay all of their players professionally. So that's why they only bring in three pros each that get paid salaries and live there full-time just to play volleyball.
Right. So you're brought in kind of as talented, skilled ringers.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, the Swedish players are all very good as well, but they do bring in other players from outside to help complete their teams. A lot of teams, you know, they have a couple or three or four good pieces, but they're looking for that extra player, you know, or extra two players to make their team their vision. And that was our team. We had some really good pieces, but they just needed a couple new, like last year, our Australian, he was there last year. But this year, they just needed a couple new players just so that we could, like, get to that point that we needed to be at.
So how would you characterize the work ethic of your teammate? I mean, for instance, the Swedes, who were not paid to be there the way that, for instance, you and your two roommates were, how seriously did they take this?
They took it very seriously. They enjoyed it a lot. And it was the only tough part for them was that they had to work in the mornings and they worked full-time jobs. And so then it was tougher for them. But they enjoyed it and they really wanted to win, you know, especially for us. They last year, how they finished, and this year, seeing how good we were, they were really fired up to get that medal. So,
So how long a season are we talking about in terms of competitive play versus when you first got to Sweden and I assume did some extensive practice? How long a season then are we talking about in terms of actual matches?
Yeah, our first match was at the end of September, I believe, and then our last match ended on this past Saturday. So depends on how you finished. There was 20 regular season games, and we played 1 to 2 games a week. And then after that, playoffs started. So playoffs were a series of 5, kind of like in basketball, where basketball does a series of 7. We did a series of 5 for the quarterfinals and the semifinals and the finals. So we had to beat a team 3 times in a row to advance to the semifinals.
Wow. So by and large, did this feel like the volleyball that you had played back here? Or is there any way in which the way they play volleyball in Sweden is different? I mean, do they approach the game at all differently or expect you to demonstrate any sort of different techniques? Or is volleyball kind of one of those universal games that's essentially played the same way wherever it is played?
I think it's different, yeah. I mean, in the United States, from what I'm used to and what we've played, is on the actual game side, like I think it's a little bit more physical, where we're going for speed and we're going for power, and there is that in Sweden, but there is more of a finesse or a, like, if the shot's not there, they don't take it. They reset the ball and they look, and then they'll be a little bit more strategic on that side of things. And defensively wise, it's a little bit better there, from, you know, digging the ball and transitioning. And then on the tactical side, in the United States, we do just from Sweden, comparing Sweden and the United States, I've done a lot more scouting and film and, like, understanding the teams that we're playing. And then Sweden, it was kind of more like, let's just go play, you know. We're all, so we didn't do too much scouting when we were playing these teams.
So how by and large did you do, I mean, in terms of your level of play, you yourself, and did that change at all through the course of the season?
Yeah, me personally, I think I performed very well. I was very happy with my performance, and coming from college, and I had a little bit up, some ups and downs a little bit, but I was coming there and they brought me there to be a good, stable player and help them win some games. And I think I was just very happy with my performance, and it was great to have a team that was, we did so well. And
And you got a nice honor at the very, very end of the season, but we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So generally speaking, how would you spend a day? I mean, every single day, was there something that you had to do related to the volleyball team, or were there days where there was absolutely no volleyball going on in terms of practice or competing or whatever?
Yeah, so, I mean, I did have a good amount of free time, but we had practice Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then we played games on Saturdays. So every day we were lifting and practicing, and then on Tuesdays we would always lift, and then Sunday we had Sunday off usually. So that was like every day I was doing something to help, you know, help the skill or in the weight room, something
right.
like that.
And by the way, when it comes to the weight room, what is the typical volleyball player trying to do? I mean, what is the goal when you are working out? I mean, what parts of your body are the most significant, and what would a volleyball workout kind of look like?
Yeah, I mean, in the volleyball world, it's a very explosive sport, and it's very quick laterally and quick up and down movements. It's not so much, you know, we have to run long distances or anything like that. So really being explosive, we do box jumps, we do a lot of squatting. Like, your legs are very important, but also your arm speed is very important, because, I mean, you can look at different volleyball players, and the majority of the volleyball players aren't these big, you know, jacked up football player guys. They're more long and lanky, and like, having a fast arm, it can enable you to hit the ball just as hard as anybody, as somebody that's really, really big, you know. And so working on that explosiveness and the speed of things is really important. I would say that's the big thing. You know, we did a lot of hang cleans and squatting and leg press, and just, and your core is very important. You know, you rotate through the ball. A lot of your power comes through when you torque on the ball with your core. So having a strong core and stability is good.
Right. Well, obviously, something paid off. The practices, the workouts, just the camaraderie and working hard together, because, as we've already said, this team, the Flubi VK, made a wonderful comeback from being in the bottom of the league standings this year, finishing third, which was a wonderful leap upward. And at the very end, you were given a really wonderful honor that your dad was telling me about. Explain to our listeners the honor that you earned.
For all the games we play, they choose an MVP for the game, and depending on your performance and your impact on the team, sometimes it's the highest point scorer, and sometimes it's just somebody that they think was, you know, the most valuable player, helped the team win. And so for the last game on the bronze final match, I was awarded the MVP of the game, which was awesome.
Wow. What a great way to finish out the year. So
yeah.
As you were there, was it always your intention to do this for just 1 year, or was that something that you were kind of going to wait to see what happened in terms of an invitation to play there longer, or by and large, was a year of playing volleyball in Sweden enough, and was that your intention right from the start?
Yeah, I was going into it that I wanted to just play 1 year, and I wanted to go do it, experience it, travel, play professional volleyball, be able to say I've done it. And so that was like my real goal, was I just wanted to go do it and try it and see how it went, and then come back home.
Were you homesick at all during the course of this year?
Yeah, I mean, it was really tough. I have a fiance here in Indianapolis, and then so I was missing her, and then also I missed, you know, Christmas and Thanksgiving. My family was lucky enough to come visit during Christmas, but when you see your whole family gathering together for Thanksgiving or like for holidays and stuff like that, and you don't get to be there, that's when you realize it the most. Every day, the little days, it doesn't, you don't really notice it, you're doing stuff or whatever, but when the holidays come, that's when you feel it a little bit.
So by and large, how did you keep in touch with your family? Was it mostly Zooming?
Yeah, I FaceTime a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What about the off time? What did you do for fun while you were in Sweden? Assuming you did have fun in Sweden.
Yeah, of course. We traveled around a lot. We went to Stockholm and Gothenburg, which is another big city. Went to Denmark, Copenhagen, Oslo. You can take the train anywhere, really. And then I would hang out with the guys a lot. A couple of the guys on our team worked different shifts and different hours for their main job, so sometimes I was able to hang out with them during the day. And then the other pros and Australian Matt, me and him would go get coffee places, go explore stuff. You know, sometimes I would just hang out at the house, play some Xbox or something. But
Just a couple more questions. By and large, did the Swedes have interesting questions for you about the United States? I mean, were they at all curious about you as an American and your attitudes or opinions about things, or kind of the way things are going in America, or not so much?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of stuff they'd be like, oh, you're such an American, or, you know, sometimes they were very interested in some things, and sometimes they were like, well, yeah, Sweden's way better. So we always joked around with each other about things like that. And
so what is your impression of the nation of Sweden? I mean, by and large, what was the country like, and what were the people like? What kind of impression did they make on you?
Yeah. I love Sweden. I mean, it was a great place. Even before I got there, I mentioned this earlier, that the team was already reaching out to me, which is huge. I think they were so welcoming and so nice. And even, you know, their families, like our manager picked me up from the train station on my first day, brought me to his house, and we had coffee. And then even further than that, one of my teammates became a very good friend of mine, David, he was a middle, his family would invited me over for Easter, and, you know, and they would come to our games and they would talk to us. Like, it's kind of like my second family there, you know, they would take care of me. They drove me to the airport on the way home, stuff like that. So everyone was like really nice and very, very welcoming. So that was cool.
Fantastic.
And I mean, the country is really nice too. The weather was not terrible for winter. I mean, from Wisconsin. So it wasn't as bad as some winters I've had in Wisconsin. So,
So do you hope that you're going to get to play volleyball again in some kind of serious fashion, maybe professionally or semi-professionally, or do you feel like by and large this is a chapter of your life that is safely and snugly behind you?
I'll be playing. There's a new league that started a couple years ago or last year. It's been growing in the United States, called the Volleyball League of America. We call it the VLA, and it is the new professional league in the United States. And so I'll be playing in that with Team Pineapple. It's a team in Indiana, based out of Indiana, and owned and ran by Loy Ball, the former American setter, gold medalist. And so we play in about this time. There's tournaments on the weekends in different areas across the country, and we play in those tournaments. And it's a place where people just like me, former professionals or people that didn't end up going and playing professional that still want to play high-level volleyball, will come in and play there. And it's not paid yet, but we get a lot of things paid for, and our flights are comped there and stuff like that. So we're trying to get it larger and get people to know about it. We go to high school club tournaments, and we'll play there so we can show people what the VLA is and what men's volleyball is.
One of the things I've been told about volleyball is that, unlike certain other sports, volleyball is something that you can continue to play very, very well for a long, long time. I mean, well into one's life, you can still play volleyball really, really well. So is
I mean, we have three different courts you can play on. You can play on the indoor court, you can play in the beach, and you can play on the grass. So if your body gets too beat up for the court, you can move on to the grass, and gets too beat up for that, you can go to the sand, you know. So there's lots of people play volleyball for a long time, and
that's great.
I hope you do.
Yeah, and your body is still in decent shape. I mean, by that I mean you haven't had to weather too much in the way of serious injuries.
Yeah, knock on wood, I haven't had any serious injuries. So
very good. So you are now living and working in Indiana, have just started a new job, and at some point are going to be married. So you have a lot of exciting new things stretching ahead for you.
Yes, I do. It's been a good couple of days. And
well, we wish you the very, very best and are glad that you took time in a hectic week to tell us a little bit about this wonderful adventure that you enjoyed in the beautiful nation of Sweden, playing for the team in Fluby. And Dalen Instanis, we wish you lots of luck with everything that stretches ahead, including all of your future volleyball competition. And we thank you again for being part of the morning show today. This is fun.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
It is coming up on 8:57 on this rainy Friday, May 6th, and that was today's edition of the WGTD Morning Show. We're going to take a short break here, and then we'll come back with a look at the weather. Then we'll join NPR for the news at a minute after 9, then Wisconsin Public Radio News, and then Wisconsin Public Radio's classical music programming.
Support for WGTD comes from the University of Wisconsin-Parkside, offering a master's degree in clinical mental health counseling, full-time and part-time programs to prepare graduates to work as licensed professional counselors. Details at uwp.edu.
Guesses were made, educated guesses to be sure, but now it's confirmed. Money in this economy is getting more expensive. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Rates and inflation, labor market, all them buzzwords about our economy next time on Marketplace.
Marketplace, tonight at 6:30 on WGTD.
I've never claimed perfection.
WGTD's Noon Tunes is where we highlight and celebrate the local musical talent here in southeastern Wisconsin by playing their music for you. If you are a local musician and you have a CD or MP3 of your professionally recorded songs, we'd like to hear from you and get you a Noon Tune. So call me, Dave McGrath, at 564-3880 or email me at mcgrathd@gtc.edu. We'll talk and we'll get you on the air.
Summer wind came blowing in.
We feature a song by a local artist on Noon Tunes at the end of every WGTD midday newscast. Be listening then.
And walk with me.
From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Kenosha County Parks are recruiting a host of seasonal job positions with a $200 hiring bonus offered to successful applicants. Visit kenoshacounty.org/jobs for more info.
On the next Fresh Air, our interview with Pamela Adlon. Her Peabody Award-winning FX comedy series, Better Things, wrapped up its fifth and final season last month. The series is based on Adlon's own life. She plays a single mother of three who's also helping her aging mother while trying to keep up her career as an actor. Join us.
Fresh Air, tonight at 7 on WGTD.
Now, 8:59, we'll check sports and then weather. And then once again, we will join NPR for the news at 9:01, then Wisconsin Public Radio for their news, and then Wisconsin Public Radio's classical music programming. In sports, baseball, Brewers made it 8 wins in 9 games with a big 10-5 win over Cincinnati yesterday. Willie Adames hit 2 of the Brewers' 6 home runs. Cubbies and White Sox were both off yesterday. The Brewers meet the Braves for a weekend series for